On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to do a deep dive into 10 songs about becoming a rock star. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. I am your host, Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, and we have a great podcast for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about songs about becoming a rock star. It's like a trope in music. You know, there's different lyrical tropes. Remember we did the thing about the car songs about car crashes, yeah, and motorcycle crashes. That's like a trope. There's the love trope. There's the, you know, I got screwed over by my woman, or I got screwed over by my man trope. Okay, this is
looks like a country song.
I was going to say that our country songs have all the same.
Yeah, yeah, they have. Yeah. So here we go. Songs about becoming a rock star, and there's a good deal of them out there. We got a handful. We're gonna talk about some you may thought of and some you may not have thought of. That there's one that I wanted to put on the list that has literally no information on it, but I may mention it as an honorable mention. But that's what we're gonna be getting into. We have everybody in the house. We have Keith the Hawk Hawkins. Hawk, what's going on?
What's up?
We have
nice.
Lily V.
You know, I'm just I'm larger than in charge, man. What are you going to do?
Larger than in charge. And we have Lily V6.
What's up?
Ronnie Premier.
Y'all.
What y'all doing out there? Can you guys hear Lily?
Can everyone hear me?
If you can't hear somebody, speak up. And of course, we have in the background our mystery performer, Pittsburgh Kevin.
With the Masked Singer.
Oh, boy.
I don't know who the hell that is. Pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Oh, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on my Facebook.
All of a sudden, there's Keith playing drums.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was one of those videos I shot of you the other night. Anyways, guys, okay, let's come back to reality. We got the whole cast of characters here for you guys today. We are getting into this thing about 10 songs about becoming a rock star. Couple little bits of business. First is I want to give a shout out to Chris Thunderwolf Dotson at wolfscustoms.online. Get a custom paint job done on any one of your musical instruments out there. So when you get up there and you start rocking out at the big festivals and everything that are going to be happening in the next coming months, you can stand out. You can look awesome. And I do want to say that I looked awesome wearing my Wolf's Custom T-shirt as I walked around the French Quarter in New Orleans on Sunday. So Chris Thunderwolf Dotson, wolfscustoms.online, rockrageradio.com. Download the app. Listen to great music 24/7. We even have a Rock Rage celebrity as part of our team here, Lily V6.
Yay.
And your show is again?
Hot Licks with Lily 6. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. We are no longer live on your page.
Oh, no. We got booted. I don't know. It says unable to connect. Okay. Maybe it'll reconnect. Oh, it's trying to do something.
Okay. It's probably your offensive language, though.
Yeah. Anyhows, you can always jump over to Rock Rage or YouTube. Somebody's watching on YouTube. Is that you?
Yeah. Oh man. The one YouTube cat from like Denmark or somewhere.
Yeah, he's from Pittsburgh.
Shit.
And please, guys, we're trying to get those iTunes reviews. Go to iTunes, get the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus up there, and there's a thing that says rate review. Give us a 5-star review. Say something nice. Send us what you wrote. Like, take a picture of it or something with your phone, and you go to a drawing to get a free t-shirt, free Ludini Rock and Roll Circus t-shirt. So do all that. You can send that to, once you do it, to lou@loulombardimusic.com. And speaking of that, our website is loulombardimusic.com, where you can get all kind of cool stuff, freebies and what's nuts. It's okay. Oh.
Are you good? Did you get it all?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you never get it all in
you
there?
You never get it all. You know, it's like diarrhea. You know, you can never get it all.
Wow. And there it is. That is my line. Do not upstage.
Well, you
me.
Haven't been using it. You haven't been stepping up. What are you drinking, Hawk?
I'm drinking a dirty martini, and it's really dirty.
Ooh, my favorite.
Just the way I like it, homie.
Just like I like my women. Cold and bitter.
Oh, it was strong and black, but okay.
All right, here we go. So these are the songs that guys sing about either how they became a famous musician or how they sort of fantasized about what somebody might think of it. Or sometimes it's just total made up BS. And sometimes these are tragic stories, right? Some of these have like bad, you know, sad endings. So it's just a very cool thing in music. It's if you think about it, it's kind of weird. We actually write music about music.
I don't think it's weird.
Interesting.
I like it.
It's not weird, but it's like, you know. It's like, what's the word I want? Like, it's like, not breaking the fourth wall, but it's like a 2.0 kind of thing, you know. It's meta.
I got you, nerd.
It's very meta. The word for today is not meta.
I know why you're meta.
Oh, my gosh.
The word for today is placebo. Oh, shit, I'm taking a test. Sorry, I have to study up on some stuff. That's completely not off on the script. I'm sorry. Talk amongst yourselves, but I digress.
Hey, Pittsburgh Kevin.
First
I meta, then I etta.
And that is the end of the terrible jokes for the evening.
Is it?
No.
No. Hal, when you listen to this, you're cutting out the snippet for the trailer. That was it right there. That little bit. That's it. So I will try to help you out on that one in the future. So that's basically what it is. A wild, different assortment of artists. These are artists from like the beginning of rock and roll to like contemporary stuff. So anyways, Lily, go ahead.
Okay.
Because I think we have some, and like you can point me in a direction. If you don't want me to talk about what one you have, just I'll pick another one.
I'm going to talk about the one I want to talk about. So.
You go right ahead.
So Jukebox Hero is the first one on my list from Foreigner, released January 22nd, 1982, 3 weeks after I was born. Just saying. The song focuses on a boy unable to purchase a ticket to a sold out rock concert. He was listening from outside. He hears one guitar and he has an epiphany leading him to buy a guitar. And learn to play it. He realizes that with this guitar, he has a chance to achieve musical stardom. This is also reflected in the movie and musical Rock of Ages, sort of like that whole thing, if you've seen the movie or the musical. The song then goes on to describe the struggle he has to stay on top of the music charts, which makes him a jukebox hero. He eventually encounters another fan outside the stage door at one of his concerts who reminds him of himself and how it all began. Mick Jones said the song was inspired by an actual fan who stood waiting outside and he let him have a backstage experience. And Lou Gramm said on a radio show in Rochester, New York, that the song was about him waiting outside the Rochester War Memorial to see Jimi Hendrix, but the show was sold out. But it sounds like a wannabe rock star.
It is. And Mick Jones came up with the... Jukebox Hero part, the Come Alive Tonight, was Lou Gramm came up with that. Mm-hmm. So it was like they were actually thinking they were working on separate songs, and they brought them together. The genius producer, the 80s producer of 80s producers, Mutt Lang, produced the 4 album with Mick Jones. And you know, that if you listen to Jukebox Hero, man, it's really got that Mutt Lang early Def Leppard, early AC/DC kind of thing going on. Good straight up rock and
epic
roll song.
Arena type song.
Yep. Before he was a singer, Lou Gramm was a drummer. Did you know that, Keith?
So you said, yes.
And the menacing beat at the beginning of the song that builds to the combustion is his influence. He says that when he writes the songs, he starts with a beat and looks for interesting rhythms. So he's a songwriting drummer.
That's fun.
That's cool. Good stuff.
I like it.
Do you have any comments, questions, or anything about Jukebox Hero, Mr. Hawkins?
Hawkins.
It's probably one of those songs that definitely would, if I had a list, it would be on it. But I'm just going to freestyle tonight, if you don't mind. I'm like kind of like a hip-hop sort of freestyling kind of guy tonight. So we're going to just, you know, I'm going to rock out with my hip-hop out. So, yeah, that's one of them songs that has been on several TV shows. You know, you hear it in movies and the list goes on. But it's definitely an anthem song about that kind of like rock and roll upstart that's, you know, trying to make the gig, man, as they would say. But it's definitely, it's a great song. It's actually one of the songs when I was in a band one time, we actually made people audition with. We figured if you could hit that note at the end, you could sing the rest of our library. So that was one of those songs you kind of slid in there to see, test people out. But you know, it's Foreigner's one of those bands too that probably gets stuck in that 70s, 80s arena rock kind of vibe. But that's one of their most, you know, one of their big anthems of all time, and still, you know, a rocking song. I never put it this way: if it's on the radio, I usually don't turn it off unless there's a Debbie Gibson song on another album, but that's another station. But that's a whole other thing.
Fox.
That
shake your love, baby. Shake your love. Oh,
that improv stuff at the end is absolutely insane. It is some of the most. He may even be beyond Steve Perry and Mickey Thomas. What he's doing at the end, it is brutal. I started working on this song with my vocal coach. I'm like, what are we gonna do at the end? She's like, well, you ain't singing that.
No, you fail.
No, that's not gonna work. So yeah, Jukebox Hero.
Sometimes you have to be realistic about things. I mean, there's times where you know someone tells you you can't do something, and you actually realize, like, if your vocal coach tells you you can't hit that high note on that song, I would tell you a more realistic approach is you probably are not going to be able to reach what's on the top shelf either, but that's a whole other thing.
Oh, wow. Is that a comment about my stature?
It is, but there's way taller people than me, but, you know, I still kick them in the balls.
In the movie Clam Bake, Elvis Presley played an oil heir masquerading as a water ski instructor.
I seen that movie.
I know. I had it. Actually, I've seen it recently. It's really terrible. And Elvis was like really kind of at this point over this crap. Over his past decade of his film career, you know, he had also dictated his musical output. So the film career kind of like set out what he was during this period, with most of his releases being soundtracks. But 67, he was done, especially when the film only yielded a handful of tunes, some of which were cut from the movie and left the producer scrambling to fill out the album. Elvis solved the problem by picking some of his radio favorites, and that included this song that he absolutely freaking loved, Guitar Man by Jerry Reed. You guys all know Jerry Reed. He's in the movie,
yes,
Smokey and the Bandit.
I love that movie.
It's not Snowman. It's Clear,
yes,
the Snow.
Yep. Tells the story of an aspiring musician who quits his job at a car wash to hitchhike around the South in search of a place to play his guitar.
This almost made my list.
But it seems no one is interested in the Guitar Man, not even Memphis, where Elvis caught his big break at Sun Records. His luck turns around in Mobile, Alabama, where he fronts a four-man band called at a bar called Big Jack's. So that is the story that the song tells. Elvis was just mad over this song, just freaking loved it. And if you ever heard Jerry Reed's version, you understand why. It's just what the man could do with the guitar is just crazy. And they started the session with Elvis's studio band, and they had let me see. Who do they have? They had guys like Charlie McCoy and Chip Young, Pete Drake. And these guys are aces, and they couldn't cop it, no matter what they did. And he says,
what about DJ Fontana?
He says what they didn't understand was, first of all, Jerry does not play with a flat pick. He plays with his fingers, number one. And number two, the song has an alternate tuning. Doesn't that Kevin's a guitar player too. Doesn't that always screw you up? Like, you can't fit, what the heck? And here you find out, oh, it's some bizarre tuning. So when he got in there, and so Jerry Reed got in there, and he said he thought he was going to be really nervous. He says, but Elvis loved what he was doing so much that they both were like having a really good time, and they were able to cop the feel that they were looking for and put out this track. And it's kind of like on the soundtrack to Clam Bake, but it wasn't in the movie. And, you know, so it, like, I think it confused some fans. I didn't sell a lot of records, but it has become, it's become more popular over time. And Reed's version was used in the 2005 version, the movie version of the Dukes of Hazzard. So that's where maybe you, some of you younger folks may have experienced the song. But yeah, Guitar Man by Jerry Reed. Keith, anything you want to talk about? Anyone you want to chime in on anything? Or you have a song
you want me to go about? Do you want me to go to another song?
Is there one you would like to speak of?
Of course, man. I could just start. I'll just start guessing songs, and hopefully one of them is about an upcoming rock star. So I was so prepared for this. So, you know, it's like catching yourself taking a big shit and then not having any toilet paper. That's how much prepared I am for this. But I'm going to go with Shooting Star by Bad Company, because that one there seems to fit the mold of what you're looking for.
Yes.
Because Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. You want me to sing the whole thing? I can more talk than sing. Because singing is not my thing.
Singing is not
me
my thing.
Me either.
Does that, and you want to... Do you have any background on it or anything, Keith? Or do you just want us to kind of...
You know what? I mean, I know Paul Rogers sings that it's a Bad Company tune, and he probably based it off of maybe one of his experiences. If not, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to hang in there tonight and give you my all.
We right want now, your all. Nothing but the best will do.
Balls on deep.
Balls deep, was, baby.
Rat once wrote a song about you.
Oh boy!
It's called lack of communication, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Shooting Star, and that's Bad Company off. Probably one of the not on the album Bad Company, which had the song Bad Company by the band Bad Company, but it might be on that same album. Or if it was six was four or nine was five, one of their goddamn.
It's on Street Shooter.
Mathematical equations they have on their thing. So
go ahead. Do you have something on it?
It's 1975 on Straight Shooter. Keith's right about what the song's about. And then Paul Rogers comes in and says it's sort of like a warning for musicians not to succumb to all the excesses that rock stars usually go through.
It's about Paul Kossoff, who was the guitarist in Free.
And he was specifically talking about the others too, like Hendrix, Joplin, the whole thing. But he says you can be a rock star without all of that. I don't know if you can, but I don't know.
You know, I don't know what he's into now, but there is a 2000s Bad Company live concert on DVD that I've got somewhere, and he looked and sounded freaking great as of like 10 years ago. I haven't know what he's doing now, but he still sounds like Paul Rogers. So,
he drinks herbal teas.
Well, yeah, there you are.
That's the key to any health-conscious person, herbal teas, goddammit. So anybody out there that wants to get in shape and get your health right and your mind right, please drink some herbal tea, because that's what Paul Rogers does.
And you will pee all day long.
Did you want to talk some more about this?
That's all I had on.
Well, it's kind of a, you know, because Paul Kossoff died of heroin overdose in 76. The album was recorded in Clearwater Castle in Wales near the border with England. Ron Nevison, the band's engineer, made the arrangements. It was a Gothic castle that was open in the summer for tourists, but in the wintertime it was closed up and they rented it out to rock bands to rehearse in. Nevison told Song Facts, but where you can rehearse, you can record. So I went up to have a look at it and said, I think this is going to work out really good. Tape machines and other recording gear were in a mobile recording studio parked outside, the same unit used to record Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti and The Who's Quadrophenia.
Is that how you say that?
Quadro. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It is on Straight Shooter. Good, great rock album by a great rock band. And this is the one, I don't know if any of the other ones have like kind of sad endings, but this has that kind of like...
Yeah, a couple of them do.
Aww.
Oh, man.
Oh, he died.
Oh, no.
So...
You know what I say? Sometimes if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
That's the key.
If you're going to dance with the devil... Sometimes you get a pay to piper, which makes no fucking sense.
No, now here's what you want. Here's what you wanted to say. If you get in bed with the devil, sooner or later you got to fuck.
Really?
What?
That's what you wanted to say.
I mean, I don't see the problem. but okay.
Every once in a while, I like to ask somebody if they dance with the devil in a pale moonlight, but that's a whole other thing, too.
Okay, so Shooting Star by the band Bad Co. All right, Lily, it's your turn.
Speaking of that line that Keith just said, I'm going with Baby, I'm a Star by Prince, which almost ended up in the Batman soundtrack.
Yeah, that's a pretty rocking
game. released 1984 on Purple Rain, upbeat song about the rise to stardom. It reflects Prince's own status in 1981. He was just starting to become famous. He had his first appearance on Saturday Night Live, released his fourth album, Controversy. Then the following year, he dropped 1999. And in the song, he's telling this person he's talking to, I'm assuming it's a woman, that he has no money, he's got nothing, but he's got his personality, and eventually one day he will be a star. Just listen to his lyrics, listen to his music. He's not stopping until he reaches the top. If you have seen Purple Rain, the song plays at the Kids' final concert blowout. It has been played live many times, and even during the halftime show, during that Super Bowl he was in, I don't know the number because I didn't look it up. It was also, like I said, in the original cut of Tim Burton's 1989 film Batman for the Joker's parade scene, but it was replaced because he didn't want to use that one with Trust. So kind of feel like they should have kept this song.
And but it did not appear on Purple Rain.
In the movie.
But it didn't appear on the soundtrack.
No.
On the album.
Purple Rain.
That was in the movie.
I'm talking about Batman. It didn't appear
on
Batman.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, it's played at the end. Okay, okay. Because I'm going like, and I started to go like, well, wait a minute. I had that album.
No.
Was there songs that were in the movie that didn't make it
no,
on the
no,
album?
No, no.
And I started like losing my mind.
I moved
okay.
to Batman.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Squirrel. Yeah.
You're recovering from the weekend. I get it.
This is a cool song. Good pick, Lily. I did not have this on my list.
And I didn't even plan that segue. Thank you.
Is that code, what is that code for? I'm lost. What does it mean when you say squirrel? You're nuts?
He's easily distracted. Like a dog.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Huh?
What? Huh? Okay.
I hate you guys.
Let's talk about probably this song inspired so many people to not only play guitar, but to want to get into rock and roll. And that is Johnny B. Goode by the man, the legend.
The myth.
Real king of rock and roll.
Yep. Yeah. I would say so. We talked about this one other time. Chuck Berry. The song is based on his life. So this is, out of the ones we're doing here, this one's probably the most autobiographical.
And the happiest.
And the happiest. Yeah, it's a super happy song, of course. Tells the story of a boy with humble beginnings, with a talent for guitar. Some details were changed. Barry was from St. Louis, not Louisiana. And he knew how to read and write very well. Yes, he's an educated dude. He graduated from beauty school with a degree in hairdressing and cosmetology.
That's magical.
He only had one small vice.
Small is the word.
He saved $100,000 in his first year as a recording contract, as a recording artist. $100,000 in the 1950s. Because he wouldn't sleep, and he would sleep in the back of his car.
And he always got paid in cash.
Yes.
Had to, you know, the line "that little country boy could play" was originally "that little colored boy can play." Barry knew that he had to change it if he wanted the song played on the radio, and he didn't want to alienate white fans who would better relate to a tale of a country boy. Barry got the name Johnny from Johnny Johnson, his longtime piano player. These guys worked together for a long time. If you've ever seen the movie Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, Kevin, right? This is all in there. But it's named after, he got the name from Johnny Johnson. They collaborated on many songs, including Maybelline, Roll Over Beethoven, and Sweet Lil 16. Johnson often wrote the songs. And then Barry converted them to guitar and wrote lyrics. Barry joined Johnson's group, the Sir John Trio, in 1953 and quickly became the lead singer and centerpiece of the band. The difference between Johnny Johnson and Chuck Berry, like, you know, like, Johnny's a great musician, but he's like very chill. And Chuck he's very charismatic, and he is a showman. And so, like, you bring somebody like that into your band, he's going to take it over. Johnson was very well respected among many musicians. He played with Keith Richards, Eric Clapton, John Lee Hooker, and many others before his death at the age of 80 in 2005. Barry said he listed some guitar licks for the song. The intro came from a Louis Jordan song, Ain't That Just Like a Woman? And the guitar break came from a 1950 T-Bone Walker song called Strollin' with Bones. Jordan was a very influential R&B singer. Walker was a famous guitarist from the 40s. And this sort of, you know, helped influence Chuck Berry to come up with his raucous stage act as well. In 2000, Johnny Johnson sued Berry, claiming that he never got credit for helping write many of Berry's hits, including this one. The case was dismissed in 02, and the judge ruling that too much time had passed between the writing of the songs and the lawsuit. Yeah, John, you should have got your crap together sooner. In any case, there's a gazillion other things, and if you want to find out, I mean, we could probably do a whole show on Johnny B. Goode. There's so much crap. Michael J. Fox playing it in
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. You want to add anything?
I don't have anything to add.
Anything else you want to add about the Johnny B. Goode?
Oh, it's probably one of those, you know, top 100 rock songs of all time. I mean, it's just got one of those. It's the song that everybody knows when you play it. Even people that don't know shit know that one.
For many years, it was like you had to play it. Like if you had like a bar, any kind of bar band, it was pretty much, man, it was like Mustang Sally.
Really? That was a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I wish I heard it more now.
I played that in every band for the first 10 years of playing. It was like mandatory. Like, and the guitar player has to sing Johnny B. Goode, whether the guitar player could sing or not.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
That could be bad in some bands.
If I'm going to play it Saturday, it's going to listen, and the guitar player is not singing it, man. I'm not singing it.
That is wrong.
That's the wrong way to do it.
Wrongo mongo.
I'm about to get on it. Maybe we'll have to skip that one.
Lily, what do you got?
I have Wanna Be a Rock and Roll Star by Eddie Money. Released in 77 on self-titled album, Eddie Money. Pretty straightforward song. Talks about when he was younger, listening to the crazy songs on the radio. He knew then, listening to the songs, that he would make it big despite his mom and his girlfriend discouraging him from doing those sorts of things. His mom said he was lazy. His girlfriend said he was crazy. Rhyming. Haha, funny. He was determined. He dreamed of having a mansion and the money that he could blow. And he would pray to God every night that he would be a star because he was working hard for it with his band. And it's literally about Eddie Money. He is now, or he's still a star. I don't care if he's passed away or not, but he became a huge star. So there's that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I do not know. I'm going to give you guys a real fast one, too, that I could not find any.
There's a Pop Before Then.
That I couldn't find anything on. And that is Top of the Pops by the Smithereens.
Okay. You couldn't find anything?
What did you say?
All I could find it was like the songwriters and stuff. I didn't find
just
any.
Just nothing interesting.
Nothing really that like sucks. Any. There was no song facts on it or Wikipedia on that particular song. But it's a very cool song.
Yeah, I like that one.
And you know what? Here, let me at least tell you guys what. Where it is. Let me at least tell you what album it is on. Top of the Pods. How about Top of the Pops?
Did it totally like change that on you?
Top of the Pods, man. Top of the Pod, people, dude.
It's like you can't even find it.
I know. Isn't that stupid? it's sad. I think there's a Wikipedia. Hold on. Wiki.
The interwebs.
There we are.
Doesn't it have everything? It doesn't have this.
No. They're giving me Top of the Pops, not the song.
What?
Oh, Lord goodness gracious. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. There we are.
Found it.
Just one time at Bandcamp? No, that's what we're doing.
Top of the Pops, a song by American alternative group Smithereens. It's the first single released to support their fourth album, Blow Up.
And that's it.
1991.
And that's literally it. That's it. Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's good. It makes sense. 91.
Pat, all songs written by Pat DiNozio, DiNozio, except where noted. There is no. Is this a cover? You think is this a cover of a? It's not a cover, is it?
I wouldn't.
You see that? Like, oh no. Oh, I see how they did it. Okay, where noted.
I got you.
No, it's an original song by them. Yeah. Paul DiNozio. Cool song, guys. Sorry, there's not much else to talk about it.
That makes me mad.
Keith, there's anything you want to jump in on?
No. Honestly, I don't even know that song like hardly at all.
Well, like I said, not a lot of. Apparently, it isn't that famous because there wasn't really any information.
It
on
wasn't it. Cool enough to write anything.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, nobody
wrote.
No, nobody's written. Yeah, so
it's gone.
And Pat DiNuzio has passed away, so we can't even talk to him about
and
it.
And it took him 25 years to find it on internet.
Yeah,
so there's
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say
that was
like
great podcasting
out if I
right there.
Son of a bitch, Pat DiNuzio, and ask him, but he's never mind. He's not around anymore. If we ever get to another place, Pat, I'm going to talk to your ass. That's all
I'm
going to say.
Talk your ass. All right, I'm going to pick one then.
Do it.
Do it! In a place you shouldn't. There's a t-shirt. Do
it. In there.
In a place you shouldn't. Okay, now this is not a controversial song, but this is Rock and Roll Band by Boston. And the song tells a story about this like hardworking rock and roll band, busking, sleeping cars, playing right out in the street, you know. And they don't get a break till some record company guy sees it perform, and it then it gets them this big deal. Wrongo.
I thought you meant a bathroom break. I played that gig last year.
One of 5 hour
break.
Sets,
two and a half hours, ridiculous. I'm gonna have to talk to my agent about that.
You said you played five hour. I'm like a 5 hour set.
I played 5 hours with 1 half-hour break, and it was bullshit. Then, when you were on stage, you couldn't even take a piss because the dude would be like, oh, I'm going to keep the music going. I was like, there's 3 people in the club. You want to keep the music going.
The drummer can keep
maybe if we stop playing, we can third place out.
Dude, it's called a, what are those things called? You can
just
pee right in it. You have the little thing strapped to your leg.
Depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Keith, you could just keep a bucket back there.
Yeah, but that's gross, though.
Yeah, I mean, you got drums. You can hide behind that shit. But many assume the story of the band because of lyrics that was the story of Boston that they were singing about, like, because they talk about a band from Boston, but this is not true at all. Tom Scholz wrote the song based on conversations he had with Jim Mazdea. I butcher name, sorry. That's why I have a job in podcasting.
Probably Messiah, as in log into Messina. I don't know.
It's got a D in it. It's weird. If you know, guys know how to pronounce
it's
that,
got the D.
Here's how you can do it. If you can pronounce it, just like shout it out real loud when I say it, so you don't have to hear me. This was a drummer who often collaborated with Scholz and had lots of war stories from playing in various bands. Jim was always telling Scholz about struggling bands trying to get signed to the record acts. To record contracts. Boston had the total opposite experience, okay, than this band. Rather than paying their dues on the road, Boston released a well-produced album that was an instant hit. In fact, they weren't even a band until Tom Scholz landed a record deal based on the demos that he made in his home studio. They played a few gigs before the album was released, but didn't tour until after it came out. Just a few months later, their songs were all over the radio, and they were headlining arenas. None of the band members lucked into this, though. They were all veterans of the Boston music scene and had proven their mettle. Scholz took care of the studio work, but they had to win over the fans on the road, which they did.
Maybe the song is the way they wanted it to happen.
No, I think you would want to like just have somebody who like wrote all the shit, put out a demo, and the record company just gives you a contract.
I mean,
instead
legit.
Of like playing out in the street, sleeping in your car. Yeah,
that's not even an experience. Please,
Jewel did that. She lived out of her car. Do you remember the singer Jewel?
Yes, from Alaska.
That's all we remember.
Well, that, and she had a song that called Adrian that I loved, of course, and then. You be quiet. It was a sad song. And she had a poetry book that I bought.
She also had, which is something I'm sure you can relate to, she also had like a massive double D rack for some reason. I don't know. It's just something about that girl that you could just probably cut her entire head off. But then from the waist down, it was like this massive rack. And then she would have to sing through her breast, which would be weird. But that's
mine's,
what it was.
Dude,
mine's still bigger.
What are you drinking over there? I got to have some of it because I have no idea what you're doing. That was the most.
I'm ludicrous. Talking about Jewel.
That was one of the most ludicrous.
I'm talking about Jewel.
I'm talking about Jewel. Don't be talking about no Jewel now.
You mentioned Jewel. I'm talking about Jewel. It's the only thing I remember about Jewel is she had really big tits. That's all I can tell you.
Mine are bigger.
Well, you know, it's a pissing contest now.
God.
But just
well, it'd be more like a milking contest at that point.
I couldn't get it out fast enough. I couldn't get it out fast enough. this is, are you, okay, do you guys like, let me, and whoever's watching, we're back on the Inner Circle and everything. Whoever's watching, actually. Let us know if you like this kind of banter, because we could probably do this all night, you know.
Just but the thing is, I mean, if you had that contest between Lily and Joel, I mean, it would be an utter
disappointment. Lily's tits versus
Joel. It would be an utter disappointment, you know what I'm saying? An utter disappointment to whoever.
I thought you said earlier that's the end of all the bad jokes for the night.
I told you I was wrong.
And then, wrong, not.
Sometimes, you know what, to quote the great George Burns, they flew well, but they landed poorly. He was talking about the trapeze act that killed themselves one time.
I am back on the Inner Circle now.
Okay, guys. So if you like the banter, the kind of kidding around and stuff like that a little bit, we can work more of that in. We usually don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a list to go off of, so I'm just winging it now at this point.
You're like,
I literally have one more song and that's it.
Okay, Keith, are you a winger?
You know what, Lou, I'm not, but if I had to be, I would wing it Kip style if I had to.
Kip style. This is like, okay,
better
okay,
and better as
okay,
we go
okay.
Along.
Okay, you said you have one. Did you want to talk about Keith? Go ahead, buddy.
I'm not even sure if this is from an upstart thing, but it's just that the song is pretty kick-ass from a band that's kind of polarizing to people. But it's Rock and Roll Star by Oasis off their Definitely Maybe album. And it just tells basically of rock and roll excess. And, you know, it's the title of the song is Rock and Roll Star. So, I mean, what are you going to do? That's kind of how it goes. And it's Liam Gallagher whining his best.
That's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's Liam Gallagher for you. Well-written songs through the mouth of a whiny bitch.
Wow.
I actually happen to like Oasis, but I just wish they had another singer. When Noel sings, he's way better, but I don't know.
It's really?
Like, I don't know what happened there. I think Noel's a way better singer.
No, okay,
for someone that probably doesn't consider himself a good singer. Like, if he was sitting here right now, which he's not, I don't think he is. But anyway, if Noel Gallagher was here right now, he wrote all the damn songs, and he probably had, like, a more, I'm not saying maybe more a rangy voice, but he had a more, like, it was tolerable to my ear, except especially from the Liam standpoint. And plus, that dude just thought he was a tough guy, man. He was like a fucko five.
Noel Gallagher told Q Magazine in 2008 that this is his favorite Oasis track. So there you are, Keith. He explained the words and the sentiment to that song. That's what it's all about. I remember bringing it down to the lads in the rehearsal studio and rehearsing it until the first time we played it live. There was a hush after it, and it wasn't the hush of people going, you know, looking bewildered. What's that all about? It was a silence of awe. No one had ever said it in a song before. Tonight, I'm a rock and roll star. There's six people watching you, right? You're anything but a rock and roll star, but in your brain, you are a rock and roll star. When I hear that song by chance on the radio or whatever, I just think, you know what I mean, man? It's got it for me. It's wide-eyed and wonderful. From the great Noel Gallagher himself.
There you go. I mean, hey, it's pop poetry, if you ask me, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, he is, you know, and I always liked his guitar playing, too.
It's rough kind of and ready. It's very the same musical. Pentatonic scale over and over again, but, I mean, that's his thing, whatever.
I'm telling you, man, I love that.
I think he's a good songwriter, and I think those songs are well-written, and a lot of people don't like that band, but I think it's cool, and they had a persona about him, and I knew Orlando actually is from London. He lived in London for a long time, and he said that band basically just steamrolled through London and then went through England because they just wouldn't take no for an answer. If you didn't book them, they would come into your show. And if another band was playing, they would try to get on stage and play. I mean, they just weren't taking no for an answer. They didn't give a shit.
They were scrappy.
And they were just cocky bastards, and they kind of did all right for themselves after a while.
I think that the guitar work on Champagne Supernova is like...
This is a band I don't hate. So,
yeah, I really dig them. So that's
a lot of people that don't like them. It's one of them bands that's like you can make a lot of big case for hating them, but I think the music stands for them. Like once again, and they didn't even admit it. Everybody was like, "Oh, they're ripping off the Beatles." And Noel Gallagher once said in an interview, "If you're going to rip off somebody, rip off the best." I mean, so it's, you know, kind of everybody sounds like somebody usually.
I always kind of took because the Beatles were a lot of things. And so I was kind of.
I mean, I'm not putting
Oasis
in the same category as the Beatles.
No. That's what I mean.
Like, they definitely have an influence there.
No. That's what I mean. I never thought they were, quote unquote, ripping off the Beatles at all. I heard the influence, but there's a lot of bands that are Beatlesque.
Exactly.
Big Star. Who was the band that was on Bad Finger? I mean, there was like so many bands that are like, so like ELO, very Beatlesque. Yeah. What'd you say?
Klaatu.
Oh, Klaatu. I thought you said Clapton.
No, Klaatu. Look up the band.
Yeah, I know who that is. I know who that is. All right, guys. So that's a good pick, Keith. I did not know that song. That is freaking awesome. So thank you for coming up with that one. I would never have thought of it. I think we have to talk about this. And Lily, you can chime in if you have this on your list too. You want to talk about this?
What is this? Oh, I have that. Yeah.
Go ahead. You start it, and I'll fill in some of the stuff too. This is such a fun song.
Cover of the Rolling Stones.
This may be the most lighthearted of all the songs on the list.
It's actually written by Shel Silverstein and recorded by Dr. Hook and the Machine.
Shel, wait a minute. Say that again. Written by who?
Wait, Shel Silverstein. The poet from the Sidewalk
Yes.
End?
Yes.
Shel Silverstein? Holy hell, I did not know that.
I know. Isn't that so cool? He wrote Where the Sidewalk Ends and those, like, you know, kids
All those
things.
Fun little things.
Yeah.
The fact that I know the book Where the Sidewalk Ends is pretty, you know, it's kind of messed up. It dates me a little bit.
It does date you a little bit.
Did you tell him what the other song he wrote that's really famous?
I didn't know.
He wrote A Boy Named Sue.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't read that far.
Shel Silverstein did?
Yeah. Really cool.
And, of course, recorded by Dr. Hook and The Medicine Show. Released October 26, 1972. The song says that these guys did everything they were supposed to do to be rock stars. They were the definition. They played sold-out shows, sold hundreds of albums. I really had some sort of weird accent there. Had young groupies after them. Had their own limo driver, blah, 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 so on and so on and so on. The holy grail of what considered you to be a rock star in that day was having your picture on the cover of Rolling Stone, which they hadn't gotten to. And they are still working to become that in their minds. BBC Radio refused to play the song as it contained the name Rolling Stone, and it was a commercial publication, so it was advertising. The magazine did finally put them on the cover of Rolling Stone, but it was a caricature/cartoon of them, and they didn't even say the band's name, and it was only three of the band's seven members. So what it said was, what's their names made the cover. So they still never really got what they wanted in the end. So there's that.
Yeah, Rolling Stone was not getting the satisfaction there. That's why Rolling Stone are total freaking dicks.
Yeah, they unfortunately
have
power. I
like what you did. Rolling Stone and satisfaction, that's good, man. I like that.
The band had a funny side and a serious side. But it was a funny side that really came out on stage that sort of like framed their image. The pirate theme added to the novelty of the group, originally known as the...
I can't wait till you say it.
They were called the Chocolate Papers. They took the name Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show after the character in Peter Pan, which also played up the eye patch worn by their singer, Ray Sawyer, who many people assumed was Dr. Hook. Sawyer wore the eye patch as a result of a car accident. So it was a kind of like, ow.
But it worked.
Ow. But they actually became prolific interpreters of Shel Silverstein's material and worked. They did some other compositions by him. That's funny. You mentioned them, the BBC not playing it, and I did not know. There's another extra fact here. This is why the Kinks had an issue with Coca-Cola. They had to change Coca-Cola to Cherry Cola.
Yep. And Lola.
Yeah. I heard that the other night. I hadn't heard that in years. And
it's funny. The song is so relevant now because Lola is running for governor of California, I heard.
Boys will be girls and girls will be boys. Girls will be boys and boys
will
be girls.
Boy, were they so ahead of their time on that.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I thought, too. I'm like, this is a song for right the F now.
Exactly.
Lola is everywhere, if you ask me. I don't know what we're going to do with that girl or boy. What the fuck? Never mind. It's a whole other thing.
Irrelevant at this point.
and she may win. Is it she? I don't know.
Okay, let's this is a kind of a heavier kind of tune. Have a Cigar.
Angel does.
Have a Cigar by what band?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd. songs about corporations, how they control their musicians. The line we call it "Riding the Gravy Train" is held for such a long time to emphasize the fact that these companies will go to as long as possible, any lengths to squeeze every last cent out of their clients. Lead vocal is by Roy Harper, Roger Waters. Excuse me. The lead vocal is by folk singer Roy Harper. Roger Waters' voice was shot from recording "Shine On You, Crazy Diamond," and Gilmore did not want to sing this. So they asked their friend Harper, who was recording down the hall, to help him out. Gilmore called to Mojo Magazine. Roger had to go at singing it, and one or two people were unkind about his singing. One or two people then asked me to have a go at it. I did, but wasn't comfortable. I had nothing against lyrics. Maybe the range intensity wasn't right for my voice. I can distinctly remember Roy leaning on the wall outside Abbey Road while we were talking about it. Go on, let me have a go. Just let me have a go. And the way he went, shut up. They tried to tell him to shut up, but they let him do it, and it worked out great. It's very interesting. A lot of people don't realize that somebody else who's not even in the band sang it. Harper is the subject of a 1970s song by Led Zeppelin, "Hats Off to Harper." He was good friends with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. Anybody else want to talk about "Have a Cigar"?
Just that it's usually a follow-up to, well, Roger Waters said it was a follow-up to "Money," which also talks about greed. So he was on the whole greed kick there for a minute with record companies, because I guess bitterness. I suppose. I mean,
if you're going to talk about Pink Floyd and becoming rock stars, if you think about it, the whole album is about that. Yeah. Damn, you keep beating me.
Sorry, I'm on a roll tonight.
You are.
You know, we're going to start calling you Butter.
Butter?
Because she's on a roll.
You forgot his joke already?
I got to get these sound effects up so I go, wah, 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 wah.
You got the puffy cheeks now.
It's probably the diet I'm on.
What's up, puffy cheeks?
Just two olives right here.
Two moles.
Two olives.
Olives. He's like a chipmunk. It's so cute.
Look at him. Hey, I want to give you an offer you can't refuse. Listen. Listen to me, Frito.
I can't.
Don't ever talk to me again that way. I'll slap the shit out of you.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. Okay, Frito. See you later. You sleep with the fishes. What? This is good shit. This is good shit here, Lou. What are you? Did you just come out of the fucking dentist office or something? What? You on gas? What's going on here? I'm throwing good shit at you, and you have no... You have the fucking... seriously, the humorous bone of a fucking serial killer. Now, I'm feeling like I'm on a talk show with fucking Jeffrey Dahmer.
Wow.
Okay. Holy shit! Get yourself together, man. Was that missing that flight? Give you fucking brain damage or what?
All right.
I think you're still in Dallas.
In 2000, Queen guitarist Brian May teamed up with Foo Fighters and for the soundtrack of Mission Impossible 2. And Grohl picked the song to cover. He said it's the most punk rock thing Pink Floyd ever did. Interesting. Huh. Taylor Hawkins sang the lead. By the way, speaking of Hawkins.
Taylor Hawkins can sing, man.
Yeah, I know he's got a good voice. What's that band he has that's really cool? Oh.
Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders.
Yeah.
Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
What?
It's from that thing you do. You know that.
I know.
Okay, Lily, is anyone you want to talk about?
I have "Big Time" by Peter Gabriel.
Oh, good one. I forgot about that one.
Basically,
you're about Big Star.
It's not so much of a positive note, but he basically talks about getting out of his small town, changing his whole image, his whole look, everything, just to get the fame that he wants. Escaping your origins is your like full-time job, not letting anyone know who you are, just so you can get all of this fame. And it comes with the price of greed and shallowness, but it was used in 2006 by WWE as the main theme for WrestleMania 22. That's my extra little
tidbit. Oh, shit.
On that. But... that was one of the ones I thought of first for this podcast.
Okay, we're running kind of low here. I think
never. We're
hitting most of them. And
that all night.
So you want to be a rock and roll star by the Birds?
That's on my list.
And
too.
Yeah, we want to hit it.
Do you want me to talk about?
Because there's not really too much on it.
Pop my face.
Basically, it's about the manufactured bands like the Monkees that came out at the time. the television series debuted that year, and they launched the prefabricated bands into international fame. The song is like sort of sarcastically making fun of things like that because they worked for their fame, and people like the Monkees didn't really work for their fame. They just sort of won their fame, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like the people that came out of America, yeah. American Idol, yeah. And the Voice and crap like that.
The lyrics tell you how to become a rock star and then go on to say it was a game to get your fame. So that's the condensed version.
Real quick, I'm going to hit Drive My Car by the Beatles. Song
is that about a rock star?
Yeah, song is about a guy who meets an aspiring actress who tells him he can drive my car.
I thought it was just about some dude mad at chick and was kind of get a little something something, so he gave her the keys.
She keeps trying to lure him. I can show you a better time, but when he finally agrees to take the job, she admits she doesn't have a car, but still wants to be her driver. It's pretty clear. It's all this driving talk is leading to sex, but there's no proof that it isn't. Just a song about a guy and a girl in a car making another radio-friendly Beatles track. The Beatles were really good at that, right? Kind of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more. Yep, they were good at stuff like that. I know that was a bit of a stretch. I don't know. I think, do you have any others, Lily?
Summer of 69. Brian Adams says it's about sex, but the song suggests that he's missing his old happy times when he was a child because he became a rock star. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. Everybody knows that
it's
song.
It's a summer of getting 69.
That too. That's why they picked 69.
Doesn't it say that at the end, though? So I'm confused now. What's going on?
What?
Huh?
Doesn't it say at the end of it, me and my baby in the 69? Doesn't it say that?
Maybe.
We'll have to do another show on lyrical deciphering.
Yeah, probably. It was one of his biggest hits. Most played song on Canadian radio. Most purchased song. Most streamed song. So there's that. Also, It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll by AC/DC. I counted that one, too. It sort of talks about how they became rock stars and endured all the hardships of rock and roll and didn't perform it after Scott's death. Brian Johnson refused to out of respect. It's only been played about 30 times live, and it's the best Australian song of all time. Some award it got.
And he plays freaking bagpipes on it.
And the bagpipes. Yes, they introduced bagpipes into rock and roll, which is awesome.
That's really cool. I mean, like, it took me a while. I was, like, real young, of course, when I heard it. It took me a while to, like, then I finally was going, what are they doing there? I was, crap, that's bagpipes.
Holy what. Genius.
Better pick him clothes up.
What is going on?
And if she don't do what she's told, man, I'm telling you, it's Knuckle City.
Oh, boy.
I'm like the White Ike Turner up in this bitch.
Man, I don't know what you're drinking.
And this is the last night of the podcast.
There ain't no rules on this show. Come on. It's Facebook.
I just joking. I kid.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, on this, let's do a little bit This Day in Rock. On this day, of course, I don't think we ever do anything without mentioning the Beatles.
Well, the Beatles have something every single day, yeah. Or every single week.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
The Beatles,
On this day in 66, the Beatles started recording I'm Only Sleeping at Abbey Road Studios in London. The song features the then unique sound of a reverse guitar duet played by George Harrison.
My favorite
Speaking
one.
Of interesting, weird sounds, it was released 2 months earlier in the United States on the album Yesterday and Today and did not feature on the original U.S. version, not on Revolver. Pink Floyd appeared at Mother's Club in Erdington, Birmingham, England. I could say that 20 times past. Nah. Radio 1, John Peel reviewed the gig as sounding like dying galaxies lost in sheer corridors of space and time. That probably made people love it.
I'm sure.
If I was like a kid in 69 and heard something like that, I'd be like, oh, well, these guys must be awesome.
I'd be like, what?
There are recordings of the show, and they are on the group's 1969 album, Uma Guma. Or Amagama.
It's Umaguma.
Umaguma. Umaguma. The Grateful Dead appeared on this day in 1971 at the Fillmore East. Man, think about that. That's such a thing. Remember, there's all these Fillmore concerts. The Allman Brothers, the Grateful Dead. The Beach Boys also appeared on the stage with the Dead. Together, performed a short set of Beach Boys songs. So they, like, oh, the Dead and the Beach Boys like singing it. Some Beach Boys, stuff. How about this? free concert event was held in the parking lot of the University of Connecticut Ice Hockey Arena in Storrs. The four acts that appeared were Aerosmith, Bruce Springsteen, Fairport Convention, and Fatback.
Of course, I wasn't alive.
Aerosmith and Springsteen at the same show. That's interesting. Springsteen went on to play another gig that evening at the University of Hartford.
Well, wasn't he just busy?
Mr. Busy Pants. Pants has to run off. He probably didn't even stick around and listen to Aerosmith.
Probably didn't, jerk.
Here's a little controversy for you, Keith. Custom officers this day in 1976 on a train at the Russian-Polish border detained David Bowie after Nazi books and mementos were found in his luggage. Bowie claimed that the material was being used for research on a movie project about Nazi propaganda and leader Joseph Paul Goebbels. Goebbels.
Oh, boy.
Goebbels. Gobble, gobble, gobble. What do you think, Keith?
I think that's terrible.
I think he's not listening.
I think that the fact that David Bowie would do that is really, really messed up. I don't know what else to say. The Verve
broke up this day in 1999.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we talked about them last time.
On this day in 2003, Madonna went to number one on the UK chart with American Life, the singer's eighth number one album, also US number one album.
Oh boy.
We're not going to talk about Pearl Jam. We have some birthdays. Cuba Gooding, happy birthday. 1972 hit song, Everybody Plays a Fool. Peter.
Oh, that Cuba Gooding. I thought he meant the son, the junior. That's
the actor. The father was the singer. Everybody plays the fool. You guys remember that song?
I know that song.
Exactly. That's it.
That's my shit right there. I'll be listening to that tonight. I'll be like,
Hey, you should tell Abe he should sing that song.
Okay.
Abe, remember Abe? Your buddy?
Yeah, that's my frenemy.
That's just.
Play the snare, play the rib, play this. Play every, hey, why'd you even call me up here? You don't like anything I play. What's the difference? And he tells my wife I stole all his licks like you got a trademark. What a jackass. All right, anyway.
Keith was all on about that. Happy birthday to Peter Ham, Welsh singer, songwriter, guitarist, was a member of the Ivies and then Badfinger. Okay. Kate Pearson, happy birthday this day in 1948. Vocals with the new wave band, the B-52s.
One of the most unique bands of all time. Like them or hate them, they sound like the B-52s.
Absolutely. Very unique.
Can't mess with them.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Herb Merle with the Philadelphia soul group, The Stylistics, born this day. Hit singles, You Make Me Feel Brand New. I Can't Give You Anything But My Love. 12 consecutive U.S. R&B top 10 hits. Yeah. Happy birthday to Paul Fraley,
A.K.A.
Ace Frehley, from American hard rock band Kiss. What else? Kiss, right? That's Kiss. There's nothing else you can say about Kiss. If you don't know Kiss,
then you should go sleep under the rock you were born under.
Yeah. Marco Pironi, guitarist with English rock band Adam and the Ants. Sheena Easton and her Sugar Walls. We're born this day.
I hate you.
See, I get a few good ones in once in a while. Number one hit single, Morning Train, 95. Easton's other hits include the James Bond theme, For Your Eyes Only, You Got the Look, et cetera. And Patrick Stump. From the band Fall Out Boy. William Boyd, the bassist for Evanescence. And I think we are pretty much done with anything.
That's all we need to talk about.
All that's relevant. So, Hawk, I got to tell you guys, before we go, first of all, real quick, wolfscustoms.online, rockridgeradio.com. Review the show on iTunes and send me a picture of it, Lou at LouLombardiMusic.com. Keith, I want you to talk about your band for a minute, dude, because they are so, you guys are really good.
I saw some of the things.
I don't talk about myself often, but what do you want me to talk about?
Well, what's going on, man? You guys have shows coming up, right?
Yeah, I got
Ugly. I'm talking about Ugly.
I may have a bunch of shows with different acts, but I think the Ugly thing's going to do two shows up the road there in Mississippi, which is only an hour or so away. But we got one May 15th and then one May 29th. One's at the Juke Joint and the other one's at in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Sidelines Bar and Grill. And those are the two we have for the month. But I have other shows with other bands, you know. Actually, this Saturday at the Blue Crab, which is with a band called Monkey Hill. Yes, Monkey Hill. I didn't name it. But and that's with a band that probably plays a lot of traditional, you know, more blues and R&B and some New Orleans favorites. They have several gigs, about two or three gigs a month at the same place. And then I have a gig on May 16th with a blues guitar player, Frenchie Moe. And that's at 3090.
Awesome.
On Frenchman Street.
Nice. Frenchie Moe.
Yeah.
All right. And Lily V6.
Oh, you want to listen to my show on Thursdays on Rock Rage Radio, Hot Licks with Lily 6, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I do have a very short interview with Chris from Texas Taliban this week, so tune in for that.
Texas what?
Taliban.
Oh, my God.
They're a metal
band. Wow.
They only named it that way because they wanted to skeeve off some rednecks. I asked them that in the interview.
Wow. So I remember one time I played a band on a show called ISIS, and Kevin got like, oh, no, man.
They're actually really good.
Texas Town. It's like, it's a kind of memorable name, I guess. And if you Google it, you're going to find it right away.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like, when some bands pick names and you're not going to be able to find this on Google. You know?
There's a lot of.
Because it's such a generic kind of thing. So, okay, good for them. Guys, keep listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Again, those reviews, we rate and review. iTunes, hit the rate and review button, give us a 5-star, and say something nice about us in the review part of it. Send me a photo of it. You know how to do that with your phone or however you do it. Lou@LouLombardiMusic.com, and we're going to pick a winner next week, live on the air. And if you're not listening,
you think this is a conflict of interest if I win, huh?
I'm kidding. No, we'll pick you, whether you're winning or not. Whether you're listening or not, we're going to pick the winner and we'll email you or something.
Or something.
I was winning way before Charlie Sheen was. Okay. Just saying.
I didn't, okay. What's that a reference? Is that Mighty Ducks?
No, Charlie Sheen went nuts and said that all the time.
Oh, I have no idea.
It's okay.
Sorry.
I'm the only one that knows all the things.
I don't know anything about Charlie. I don't know. I know he was in the Mighty Ducks.
No.
No matter what I throw, it's
That's how much I know. What's the movie?
Brain damage time.
What's the show that they were? They had a TV show with him and was Ashton.
Replaced Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, he replaced him. Then
see, this is how little
I
know about
that. It's actually funny with Charlie Sheen on it.
Oh, he was in Wall Street.
Yeah,
with his dad. Oh, okay, yeah. All right. Okay, I know a couple Charlie Sheen things.
His big claim to fame is doing a lot of drugs and bagging hookers, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, I mean, nothing wrong with that.
He was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off too. And Lucas.
All right,
one of his bigger movies was he was
Hot Shots.
Rick Wilding Vaughn in Major League. So that was his.
Oh
shit
yeah,
there.
I hate those movies because of an ex. So yeah, but yeah, I remember that.
I mean, the first one.
When you have to watch and listen incessantly.
Okay. That,
you can't live your life on a grudge, Lily. Come on.
I can, because I have 40 and have. So.
All right, guys.
You're 40. What?
I'm 40 and have.
Are you really 40?
I'm 39. Close enough.
Ah, shit. That's only 39.
This is the second anniversary of your 39th birthday.
I mean, I'll play 35 for a while. We can do that.
All right, guys. You've been listening to Indie Rock and Roll Circus. LouLombardiMusic.com is the website to get all the information about everything we have going on and get on the mailing list. And again, don't forget to do that iTunes review and email it to Lou@LouLombardiMusic.com. Keith the Hawk Hawkins, a pleasure as always. It's been a business doing pleasure with you. And
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
I don't even want to know about the weekend.
We were working for the weekend, weren't we, Keith?
I'll bet.
Yeah, probably me, you, and yeah, probably most of the members of Loverboy at one point, but that's, you know, it's one of the things.
And Lily V6, thank you so much. We're the great and talented. We love Pittsburgh Kevin.
Loving these guys. guys do.
All right, and my name is.
How does that get on the air, man? Can you let him like be seen, or is this going to be like this whole Wizard of Oz thing?
He is the Wizard of Oz. It's the mystique. He's the Lizard of Oz.
You were supposed to be the guitar player, and I was supposed to be the lead singer with Mystique. What's that from? No. No takers on that one? No Almost Famous for Y'all? Okay.
Wow, that's a deep line. I wouldn't know the line. I've seen the movie.
Yeah, sometimes I go deep, man.
You go deep.
Balls deep.
Balls deep.
There it is. Hey, Keith, deep and wide.
Yeah,
hot
you're
and do. Hard.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
You're gay, man, but that's okay.
Up to the forearm at least, brother.
I really don't want to know about the weekend.
Nothing happened that was illegal.
I'll bet.
No animals were harmed in the making of this
weekend.
No puppets.
All right, we got to wrap up. We got to wrap up. We'll catch you guys all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Get the hell out of here.